Welcome to Voices from the Street, the radio ministry of the Sacramento Union Gospel Mission. Prepare your heart for laughter and tears as we share the unpolished stories of the homeless and hurting, hope and transformation. Here's your host, Director of the Union Gospel Mission, Pastor Tim Lane.
I am so glad that you guys decided to join us today. I have my friend Stephen from the mission back. He has been at the mission for 38 years, well, 39 years if you count the fact that he was originally on the program, and at the time, I believe the program was 3 or 6 months, something like that, right,
Stephen? Yeah, it was almost a vague thing. It was like,
let's see how
you want to stick around. Yeah. You know, do you know, help out, do things. But for my experience, it was that the director was building a staff. He really didn't have much of a staff at the time, and he myself and a couple others, he thought that we would be good material to build the staff upon. So I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful for Don Kirk.
Yeah, absolutely. I was not ever on the program, and I've been the director for 19 years and almost 19 years. And Don Kirk had resigned as director, as executive director of the mission, and gone to be, he was running our ranch for a while, for, I don't know, 6 months or so.
Yeah, something like that.
And but I knew Don over the years, not intimately. I always joke with Steve because he would always tell people that he was at my ordination, and he was so convinced of it, I had to go get my ordination papers and look at them to see if his name was on there. Well, it wasn't. I think what happened was he and I later on sat on an ordination council for another pastor, and I think he got that mixed up. Don Kirk was big shoes to fill. And there was another director, his son, in between. But people love Don, and Don loves Stephen. And so, and I feel the same way about Stephen. He's transcended that moment of just being, you know, your coworker to being a close personal friend. And I mean that. It's not just a said thing.
I feel the same way, sir.
No matter where we are in life, at the mission or not at the mission, I hope we will always be close friends. My wife loved him, and so I love his family. We go out to dinner. We haven't been in a while, but we need to do that again pretty soon.
You bet.
They closed down Claim Jumpers. Shame on you people.
I know.
We loved that place. But Stephen and I have been through a lot together. He has been able to show me a lot of the things that I needed to know when God brought me to the mission as the director. I had certain skill sets, but there was so much I didn't know, and Steve was so big a help to me all those times. His friendship and his loyalty, his prayer, and his knowledge of the mission have always been top rate. I was telling somebody that, you know, they thought, well, Steve seems kind of stern sometimes. Well, you know, I've never heard that complaint from one of our program guys, because Stephen is just when he administers justice to the guys, and he is kind and willing to listen to guys when they have a problem. And he prays for him, and he cares about him, right, Stephen?
I certainly do.
And so
I was once there where they are now, and then maybe that's a part of it why I, you know, have that connection with them.
A little empathy
and,
for them.
Yeah,
huh?
And just I'm grateful to be there, and grateful that God saved me, and that's probably paramount. But knowing, you don't always have to know where a guy been in order to minister to him.
Right.
But sometimes guys look for that, and because of that, that does lend itself to me to be able to speak to him, to them, and do that congruent, as it were.
Yeah, and I've seen that over the years in you many times, where somebody will come and they've got a problem and you've got empathy with it. And empathy is much different than sympathy. Sympathy, you feel sorry for somebody. Empathy, you can feel what they're feeling because you've been there, right?
Yeah.
And so,
most definitely.
Stephen's wife needs some help because of some physical disabilities, and so he was able to sympathize with me as Olga got worse and worse, and I'm able to sympathize and empathize with him. You know, no matter what the physical condition of your spouse is, if you love them, you care for them.
That's right. Yeah.
And I think I like what you said earlier because it's so true. We enter into not just a relationship with your spouse, you enter into a covenant relationship with your spouse.
Exactly.
If you're a believer, you are standing before God saying to love them, honor them, cherish them through thick and thin and sickness and in health. And I think that we're willing to do that in health, but sometimes in sickness, people like to abandon the ship.
They want to abandon that or find a loophole sometimes. It's sad.
But Olga used to say to me all the time, well, not all the time, but she would say, well, I'm such a burden to you. No, I would tell her what would be a burden would not be not having you there.
Yeah.
And it's certainly this last 3.5 years, it has been a struggle. It's always a struggle to come home to an empty house. Well, I have 2 cats, and that might even make it worse. I'm not sure. I was never a cat guy, and now I have
now
no dog and 2 cats.
Yeah.
What are you going to say?
Things change.
And I can blame Olga and my 2 daughters for the 1 cat, but the other one's all on me. I had a little cat show up at the door. It looked like a kitten, and I ignored it. And finally, I couldn't ignore it. I put a little food out there. It looked so pitiful. And then the next day, it was 24 degrees outside in the morning. I thought, oh, I can't take this. If that cat's there, then I'm gonna take it inside. And so I went out. It wasn't there. I said, well, I guess that's it. And then all of a sudden, it ran up from underneath the steps where it had been hiding. So that one, I've got nobody to blame but myself, and I still have the cat. So now Stephen is much younger than me. He is 6 months.
A whole 6 months.
6 months younger than
me.
That
means something.
We have a time period thing, too. You know, we like old music. And
yeah, we're pretty much grew up with the same things going on, and even though from different coasts.
Yeah.
I was on the East Coast, of course, and you're over here in California.
Yeah. But originally, I'm from the East Coast.
Yeah, well, you're originally, but didn't stay there that long.
No, 5 years. Yeah. I was 5 when we left South Carolina. But, you know, so at any rate, getting back to the mission, we were talking last week about all the many changes that have happened in the mission over the years. A lot of those are structural things that have changed. You know, we've been in the middle of remodeling. It got slowed down a little bit. We're trying to get our permits to finish the second part of it. It just takes a very long time. Apparently, after COVID, there were a lot of new construction happened later, and so the permit office is pretty overwhelmed.
It's swamped, yeah.
So we're trying our best to get that done, and if you're donors to the mission, no, we're not abandoning that. We're trying to get it going. If we got our permits tomorrow, we'd start on the construction part of that. And thanks to you, we have the money to be able to do those things. It was because of you that we were able to completely tear apart the 2-story part of our building, upper and lower, and completely replace every stud, every piece of wiring and plumbing. And flooring, everything. Even the shower was jackhammered up and redone.
Yeah.
And so that's thanks to God's guidance, your help financially. And so over the course of the years, we have seen a lot of men come and go through the mission. Some have stayed clean and sober. Some have not. More importantly, many have come to be believers. Correct, Stephen?
Yes. That's why we're there. that is the primary reason that we have seen many that have given their lives to Christ and are dutiful in that lifestyle. They're,
sure.
They're living for Christ, in other words, and raising families and to do likewise. And yeah, I like when they show up every now and then, and we get to visit and see that, you know, that God is working in their lives, and be able to share that with you and with all that we, you know, people that we come in contact with.
Yeah, that's right. So if you're out there, Mark Campbell, we'd like to see
you
once in a while. It's been a while.
Nice.
Talk about you often, by the way. So at any rate, there's a lot of people that have come through the program, and you can't always remember all their names, but a lot of them that you got closer to, you remember, you know, and you always pray they're doing well. So in the last 20 years, I think one of the more notable people that has gone home to be with the Lord was James
Mooney.
Mooney.
Who had the same last name as, of course, of our pastor, Tom Mooney.
They weren't relatives that we know
of. Yeah, that we know of.
So
he was a great guy.
He was a great guy. And James Mooney went through the program, right?
Yeah, he graduated.
How long ago?
Man, yeah, I'm not.
12 years?
That would be probably a good number.
Yeah.
It's been a few years.
So James Mooney came through the program, and he loved the guys. I mean, he really did. He prayed for them all the time. Steve and I went to see him. He had a stroke, and he was in the hospital. And amazingly, the doctors were talking to his daughter about he's never going to come out of it. If mm-hmm. he does, he's going to be a vegetable. He's never going to be able to see. He's never going to be able to talk. And I said, well, you know, where there's life, there's hope. And we prayed for him. Steve and I went and sat by the bedside. He came out of that. And for the next few years, his daughter told me, he wasn't a good father, but he's been a great grandfather and a good father now. So
yep, change of heart.
Mm-hmm.
God does that for people.
So you remember you and I went to see him in the hospital when he was conscious again and able to talk, couldn't see still, I don't think, which he did get his sight back. It was not great, but he got his sight back.
It wasn't perfect.
Do you remember what his first concern was?
Yeah, about the men on the program.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, he wanted to know how they were doing, and you know, and has some insights on some guys, you know, to talk about them. Yeah, where his heart was.
So here's a guy struggling, not knowing if he's ever going to be able to walk or see again, and talking about this guy, and he had him by name. How's this guy doing? And concerned. That's a transformed life, right?
Amen.
So
yeah,
when you question, well, I don't know, are we doing any good? Not always, but you know what? There's a lot of men out there right now that have come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and are walking the path uprightly after all these years, right, Stephen?
Yes, it is. And appreciative when they do, like I said, when they stop by. I mean, we don't always see them all, and we hope they're doing well.
Yeah, but we don't want to see them every day.
But those that do, you know, come by, especially if we haven't seen them for a while, that always brightens up my heart.
Yeah, absolutely. Mine as well. And so there's one thing that I wanted to clear up today. I had two guys come by from one of the churches. I'll leave their names out of it. But they had mentioned the fact that they heard somewhere that we were struggling. And I had to say, well, look, I appreciate you guys coming by with the donations from their church. But we're not doing as well financially as when COVID first hit, but we're doing better than we were before COVID anyway. And let me explain to you why I'm saying this to you. Do we need donations? Of course we need donations. Are we in trouble? Not a bit. You guys have supported us all these years, and I don't want anybody to give to us because they think that We're just in desperate shape. We're not at all. And I'm not trying to get you guys not to donate, but what I am trying to do is, if God moves on your heart to donate, if he moves on your heart just to pray for us, that's fine. And we're doing fine. So here's where we're at. Before COVID, we were at a certain income level as far as our donors go, a little bit of increase every year. When COVID hit, I refused to advertise for COVID at any time because I thought it was obscene to play on people's hearts just to get money. I didn't think God needed my help to do that. And so we didn't advertise for it. And yet we were 35 to 40% higher every month than we had ever been through before. And that maintained for the next year. And then the third year, there was a slight drop-off and a little slight drop-off now. We're a little bit less than we were before. But we're still way up over what we were before COVID. What I'm trying to say is thank you.
Yes.
thank you for your help.
And your prayers.
And your prayers, right. Certainly. And we want you to keep donating, but I don't want anybody to convince you that you got to do this to
keep us afloat.
Only if God lays it on your heart.
Amen.
You know, being a pastor for many years, I gave very few tithing sermons. And by the way, I don't want you to tithe to the mission. You tithe to your local church and you give an offering to us. But if God lays that on your heart. But even with tithing, I would tell people at the end of a sermon, I probably only did two or three in all those years, would be if you're reaching in your pocket, writing out a check because you just feel guilty about it, don't do it. Don't give the money if out of guilt, out of shame, if you're resenting it, don't do it. Do it with a glad and a happy heart, right? And so I translate that to the mission. Again, I don't want anybody to tithe to the mission because we're not a church. Tithe to where you're being fed the word of God. And if you don't have a church, you should have a church.
Find a church. Yes.
So I know that it may seem like I'm trying to get people not to give, but that's not the case. I just want us always to rely on God's goodness and on those people that have God lay it on their heart to help. These two gentlemen from the church were very kind and very supportive. And I, even after I explained, look, I appreciate you coming here, but if you're coming here because you think that it's, you know, I said, I would be guilty of telling you something that wasn't true. And they still wanted to give, and they still wanted their church to give, and I'm grateful for that. But like I said, everything we do, not just financially, has to be done out of the abundance of the heart, right, Stephen?
That's right.
So what's that look like for our guys and for our staff to give out of the abundance? So I'm not talking financially. I'm talking about, you know.
Well, we want to follow Jesus, right? That's our. We get saved. We are saved from eternal death to eternal life, and that's fantastic. But we're living here on earth, and God wants us to follow His commands. Jesus said, "If you love me, you'll follow my commands." That means not just to say praise God, but you're not doing what God wants you to do. That means do what God wants you to do. At least have that intent. Everybody's not going to do it perfectly, but the intent is that you want to follow Christ and you want to follow His commands. And so that looks like just putting that effort towards that until it's not an effort. It's you know, how your life is. And we want our guys to feel that. They're here hopefully for 10 months for the whole program, and that's just the start of the process. But we're building them a foundation that they can live the life that God intended them to live, knowing how to live that. And that's why we have the Bible studies and the counseling and the encouragement is because we want them not only to just to get the head knowledge, but the heart knowledge. And when that happens, then they have a start to live how God wants them to live, know how that works, and then repeat it in their lives, and have that hopefully spread to whoever else they might come in contact with. And I think that's what we want from our guys to be able to carry with them.
And that's what God wants from us too. You know, when you are reading through the Gospel of John and you get up to 11, 10, 11, 12, a chapter of John, God makes it pretty clear, if you love me,
yeah, you keep my commandments.
You'll keep my commandments. Well, what that means is you're not going to work your way into heaven. What it means is the outpouring of the love that you have for Christ will cause you to want to keep his commandments.
Right. And I should add, I always want to put that, is that it's through God's Holy Spirit, not our effort.
Right.
If we run it on our effort, then we're going to fail.
Every time.
All the time. So it's about letting God's Spirit, that when we ask him to come our lives, he's there. God's Holy Spirit is there. We depend on him to help us to make that trek, to walk that way. So not on our strength. So I just want to kind of recap on that.
Oh, no, I agree with you 100%.
Yeah, you're falling on your face every time. But it's about letting God's Holy Spirit guide us to do those commands that he asks us to do. And the only way we could do it is through loving him and letting his Spirit guide us in that fashion.
You know, there's no doubt about what you just said. That's absolutely the truth, because in and of ourselves, we're not able to keep his commandments. We're not able to do those things. Somebody was just saying the other day, Cumleish actually, he was saying, was asking about, well, if we're righteous, how come we don't act righteous? Well, because we have righteousness imputed to us through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, but in and of ourselves, we still struggle with sin. We are not sinners. We are saints who sin. And there's a fundamental difference. The Bible says if you say you have no sin,
you make God a liar.
That's right.
And his word is not in you.
But that doesn't mean that's who our nature is now. Our nature is a new nature, but we struggle with the old man, right?
That's right.
So, you know, if you are a Christian out there today and you read your Bible, you go to church, you pray, you struggle sometimes with things as we all struggle sometimes with things, just remember that that in and of your own strength, you're not capable. None of us are. But God will guide you and strengthen you throughout the walk of your life. And I know that I just got the signal that we're out of time, but I would encourage everybody out there to find a church, to fellowship, to know God, to love God. And so, 20 seconds, got anything quick to say, Stephen?
We have two men that are graduating tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.
Pray for them. One, his name's Victor, and the other is Jeff. And just pray for them that they will take this life and carry it on to new heights in their families and in whatever endeavors they are, you know, will be able to accomplish that, Father. Accomplish the Father's work in their lives.
Amen. And until we meet again, may God hold you in the palm of his hand.
You've been listening to Voices from the Street, the radio ministry of the Sacramento Union Gospel Mission. If your heart's been touched and you want to know more about the work of the mission, log on to ugmsac.com, ugmsac.com. To donate clothing, food, time, or financial help, call 916-447-3268, 916-447-3268. Thank you so much for listening. Join us again next week at the same time for Voices from the Street.